Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
When Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and went to live in Capernaum by the sea, in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali, that what had been said through Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way to the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sit in darkness have seen a great light. On those dwelling in a land overshadowed by death, light has arisen. From that time on, Jesus began to preach and say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." As he was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and his brother Andrew, casting a net into the sea. They were fishermen. And he said to them, "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. He walked along from there and saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. He went around all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and curing every disease and illness among the people. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So my father grew up in New Jersey. I had one sister, and he was born into a Catholic family. Baptized as a young infant and spent most of his childhood there out in New Jersey and went to local parish, St. Mary's. That's where he had his first communion. He was confirmed, graduated from high school, from their school there. And right about in the end of his high school years, really going into his college, he went off to college after high school, he stopped practicing the faith. Lost a belief in the Lord and stopped, as we would say, practicing the faith, whether it was going to church or otherwise. A couple of years into his college life, he dropped out of college and was kind of, as we sometimes say, trying to find himself, but he decided to go out to California. I think he had some friends and family out there. I don't think he knew exactly what all he was going to do in California, but he wanted to change. And on the way to California, he decided to stop off to see some friends in Ann Arbor. He had some friends from growing up in New Jersey who were in Ann Arbor now, and they invited him to come see him and stay. And so he decided to do that on his way to California. And while he was there, you know, he spent time with his friends, and his friends, I think they were raised Catholic, but I don't remember for sure, but they were certainly at that point, and they were part of a community mostly of Catholics, but also of some other Protestant Christians, or separated brothers and sisters, who were all coming together because they had encountered Jesus. Most of them as young men and women, similar to my father's age at that time, they had experienced that call from Jesus to follow him, and they were doing that together as part of that call. And as my dad stayed there for a few days, he experienced something that, as he would share with me later, he'd never really experienced before, but something that he wanted. They're experiencing, they're living in a way, they're doing things that I want. And so he asked them in some way, maybe I can be a part of this, maybe this, be able to have this too, can I? And their response in some way was yes, but absolutely it's all about Jesus. And so he too came to encounter the Lord in a new way, though he had been Catholic his whole life. And instead of going on to California, he stayed there, and he eventually met the woman that would become my mother, and they had me and five others, and here we are. I mention all of that, some of my dad's life and story, because it is, I think, connected to our gospel today on this, for many of us, maybe all of us, very familiar passage from Scripture, this calling of Simon and Andrew, his brother, and the two brothers, James and John, all fishermen. This moment where they encounter Jesus and Jesus called them, come, follow me. And they did that. They didn't know all that that meant, but they experienced this calling. And for them, they were all Jews and practicing that faith. They were, as our first reading said, the people of God already in one way. The preparation for the fullness of God's people in the church. But, you know, again, they weren't scholars. They weren't like Pharisees, but I'm sure they knew the scriptures. And we know they went to the synagogue every day on the Sabbath right there in Capernaum. And they go down to the temple to worship at the high holy days. And they were waiting for the Messiah. And so they recognized in Jesus, I think this is the Messiah. They didn't know all that that meant at that time. Certainly, we know that because they got a lot of things mixed up, and Jesus had to continue to teach them and correct them as they continued to follow him. But they followed him, and they experienced his calling. At the heart of our faith, what it means to be Catholic, what it means to be Christian, is this relationship with Jesus and this calling, and that we're people who have said, I've met Jesus. And in Jesus, I've met someone who's not just a man, but come to find out he's God. And he's the one who made me, and more than that now, he's the one who saved me too. And he gives meaning and purpose and direction and understanding to my entire life. And that being Catholic isn't just some extra thing that I do or one of many groups that I might belong to, but it's Jesus. And following him, and then that all of that comes to me. Indeed, we find out that it's not just some one thing, this following of him, but even as we see in Jeremiah in the Old Testament, but that Jesus is the one who's formed me in the womb and has called me from my birth. My whole life is about this calling, and certainly being in the church, being part of his people. It's about following him and all that that means. For many of us, I would hope for all of us, but maybe not all of us, and I know that's true too. We've experienced that calling at some point in our lives. Sometimes it can be very dramatic, say like it was with Paul in the New Testament. Sometimes it can be more distinct, certainly as it was with my father. Sometimes it's more gradual. Someone might not point to one particular moment in their lives, but just they've come to know Jesus and that calling. It can happen as it did with my father, someone who's been raised in the faith and spent years learning about the faith and even worshiping at Mass, and yet it hadn't happened yet. Sometimes it happens when someone's very young, or someone who's never heard of Jesus, they've never been raised in. There. For some of us, maybe we've never experienced that. Never been to Mass before. We've been to Mass for 80 years. Jesus is very much present here. And our lives are about this calling and following him. And so it's an opportunity, as we hear about Peter and Andrew and James and John, maybe for some of us, just to be renewed in that calling, to give thanks again, to be, ask for that grace to just be strengthened and continue to choose. Every day we have to choose, but to continue to follow him, to grow in that relationship. Or maybe it's to just ask for that grace to experience that. Because part of how we experience that, in one way or another for all of us, but it's within that community. That was certainly true for my dad. He didn't come to kind of encounter Jesus and really experience that calling on his life and then following him. Kind of totally out of the blue, apart from everything else in his life, but it was precisely because of this community of people, these people who were following Jesus. And come to find out, as Jesus calls us, it's very personal, as it was for Peter and Andrew and James and John, as it was for my father, but that calling is never private. It brings us into community, it brings us into the people of God as one body. And it's as we live those relationships and as we grow in being, as Paul said in our second reading, of one mind and heart, our focus on Jesus, that has a profound effect on other people too. That's how they come to experience Jesus as well. His love for them, his calling to them, that understanding of, this is why I'm alive, this is why I exist, this is what life is all about, and it gives me hope, gives me healing, reconciliation, and purpose. That takes work. Our second reading from Paul, it's about this early Christian community. Not many people there in Corinth, maybe a couple hundred at most, who are living the faith, who have heard the good news, right? They've heard it from people in the church, Paul among others. He was the one who brought Jesus to them, and through his words and deeds and the power of the Spirit, and they're following, but they're not perfectly of one mind and heart yet. That's partly why Paul's writing to them now. And that's the words that we heard from that letter of, there's divisions among them. We come together, we're brought together, and again, the community above all where this is meant to be experienced is at the parish level. In Montrose, you're a good shepherd. And what brings us together, of course, is Jesus. It's not that we all have the same interest in a particular sports team, or we're all fishermen. Even his first disciples weren't all fishermen or whatever it is, but it's Jesus. And Paul was saying to the Corinthians, some of you are focused on other things. Indeed, other people were saying, well, it's because of Peter. This is really what it's about, or this guy named Apollos, or it's Paul. He said, no, it's Jesus. Some of their divisions were because they all had different gifts, and some of them were saying, well, my gifts are better than your gifts, and everyone who has the same gift to me, let's be over here, and you can be over there. And he's saying, no, God gives us different gifts. But he brings us together, and it's as we grow in that love for God and that love for one another, and we live that out, that becomes a witness. And we're meant to do that. That's part of following Jesus. Again, we use a churchy word, vocation, that just means calling. But part of, we come to find out that calling to follow Jesus, it's to do it in his body, in his church, and includes sharing in that work of making him known. And a big part of how we do that, it's not the only way, but a big part is that loving one another, that being that light to the world that shines in the darkness. Sometimes it's countercultural, but how often, in that personal way, for each individual as they encounter it, how often a big part of it is, this is what I've been looking for. I want a part of that. Can I have a part of that? And the response, of course, is yes, it's Jesus. You know, for the last several decades in our lifetime, and then it's been kind of accentuated in the last couple of years because of the pandemic, is in our part of the world kind of a slowly losing of the faith, and sometimes for short term, like my father, but sometimes for long term, people just, as we would say, wandering away from the faith, the practice of the faith. It's not just Sunday Mass, so that's a big part of it. That's a foundational part of that following of Jesus. And you know, in my experience and talking to many of you, and so often, how often, it's not always this case, but how often when I talk to people from our parish, other people that I meet in our area, I say, hey, good to have you at Mass. Good to have you at Mass. We miss you. Come back. How often the response is, yeah, I know I've been meaning to get back. I want to. How often we need that invitation, that calling. As St. Teresa of Avila said, Jesus now has no hands but yours and mine, and no feet but yours and mine, as far as it's through us that people encounter Jesus and they experience God himself, Jesus himself calling them as well. And so just that encouragement to be able to reach out, be able to invite, to be able to encourage, to be able to share that in our words and also in our deeds and our love for one another. You know, this past week you might have known I was away on vacation, and for part of that vacation I got to go fishing, and so maybe it's because I was just fishing. I don't get to fish a lot, but I love fishing, but thinking about fishermen and Peter and Andrew and James and John being fishermen, and a lot of what they, and being called to be fishers of men, and a lot of what they did as fishermen didn't translate over into being fishers of men, though certainly their lives, their skills, their abilities did. But I've been wondering if at least one thing does transfer over, because fishing takes a lot of patience and a lot of perseverance, and you never know what's going to happen. And as some like to joke, that you call it fishing because you don't know if you're going to catch anything, and that's why you don't call it catching, kind of fishing. And there's something true about it, intentionally, but really trying to bring Jesus to other people and know that he's calling them and to share in that come follow me work. So there it is, fishing. You don't know what's going to happen. It does take perseverance and patience. Sometimes it means inviting someone again and again. I was with someone recently. She was sharing it with her husband, inviting him to a certain kind of involvement in the parish. And he had said no for, I think, decades. And then he said yes. He said, oh, it's a great reminder to never give up that inviting. And it's true. It's always God's timing. But for us to continue to not be discouraged, but also to not think that somehow, well, that God's going to work that out somehow apart from me. No, it's you and me. Let's give thanks today for the ways that we've experienced God's calling. Jesus calling you by name to follow him and all that that means and the hope and the life and the mercy and the goodness that that brings into our lives, and also that we can share in his work. Let's also ask for that grace to continue to work towards that unity together. Really thank him for all the ways that that exists. And I know my own experience here at Good Shepherd come in just in the last few years is there's a lot of strength there in this parish. People loving one another and trying to do that in Christ, but to be built up. As it wasn't the case in the early church, it's always the case. There's always work to be done in our own minds and hearts first, but with one another, to overcome division, to overcome things that separate us, things that are we're focused on instead of Jesus. Let's also ask for that grace as we do that. Just continue to patiently, confidently, lovingly persevere in reaching out and inviting and helping others, sometimes our own family members, brothers and sisters in our parish, but all everyone we may meet. Help them experience Jesus and invite them to follow him.